Today's episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast is brought to you by FreshBooks. To see how the all-new FreshBooks can save you time and boost your creativity, go to freshbooks.com/accidental and enter accidental in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. I'm also the author of several books, including The Accidental Creative, Die Empty, Louder Than Words, and the new book Herding Tigers, Be the Leader That Creative People Need, which is all about how to create an environment in which creative teams thrive. What is it that we need as create on-demand professionals in order to be prolific, brilliant, and healthy every day and to sustain great work over time? And that's really kind of what we talk about on the show as well. We talk about some practices, some rhythms, some things that we can do individually and collectively with the people we collaborate with to be prolific, brilliant, and healthy over the long term as creative pros. And on today's show, we're going to talk about the importance of letting go and moving up. I'm going to read a passage from my third book, which was called Louder Than Words. And Louder Than Words is about developing your voice as a creative pro. So figuring out, you know, what it is uniquely you have to offer, sort of homing in on that and then putting that into practice every day. So I'm going to talk about the importance of letting go and moving up and embracing the importance of seasonality as a creative pro. If we want to grow, right? If your goal is to grow and your goal is to continue producing more value over time, then sometimes you need to let things go away so that something better can be born. That's what we're going to talk about today. Before we jump in, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by FreshBooks. So on a podcast a while back, and in many of my books, I talk about the importance of having rituals of rhythm to sustain your creativity. If you want to be prolific, brilliant, and healthy over the long term, you need to have rhythms and rituals in your life to sustain that. The thing is that creating rituals doesn't only apply to sustaining creativity. It applies to other areas of your life and your business as well. If you're a freelancer or a small business owner and you don't create rituals around dealing with your paperwork, you're going to have a tough time sustaining your business. Eventually, your business is going to wither and die if you don't have some structure in place to help you deal with the administrative side of your business. Well, FreshBooks knows this all too well. So well, in fact, that they've created ridiculously easy cloud accounting software that's perfect for creative pros. And the reason I describe it as perfect for creative pros becomes obvious the very minute you try it. You can create and send polished professional invoices effortlessly in about 30 seconds. With literally two clicks, you can set yourself up to receive payments online. And they've also added a new feature called Proposals, which lets you incorporate your project details, the scope of work, and a timeline right into your estimate. It's so easy. It's so elegant. You've got to try it to understand what I'm talking about. We love FreshBooks at Accidental Creative. It makes a huge difference in how we feel about dealing with day-to-day admin and paperwork. And right now, FreshBooks is offering an unrestricted 30-day free trial, which means that you don't need a credit card. That's incredibly rare, by the way. Just go to freshbooks.com/accidental and enter accidental in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's freshbooks.com/accidental and enter accidental in the How Did You Hear About Us section. We thank FreshBooks for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. So this episode is kind of a weekend meditation, perhaps for some of us. I know for myself as well, because I'm going through a period right now of sort of re-envisioning, reimagining, and trying to reset for the coming year. And one of the difficult things for me is that when something is working, when something is successful, I want to camp out there. I want to ride it as long as I can. It's kind of like Tim Grawl said recently on a recent episode of the podcast, you know, people set campfires and the campfire burns. And so they just want to sit there by that campfire forever instead of moving on and setting the next campfire. And that could be a really dangerous thing for us. So I want to read to you a passage from my book, Louder Than Words, from a section called Up the Curve, which is chapter 9, I think, in the book. And it's about the importance of continuing to move on, especially when you start to feel comfortable. So there is a cycle of life and death baked into nature. We don't question it when the leaves shrivel and fall off trees in the autumn, or when the flowers die, or when the fruit rots. It's just a part of how things work. And we know that the seeds that fall to the ground when these things happen perpetuate the cycle of life. However, we often don't allow for the same rhythmic cycles of life and death in our own lives, especially in our work. Once something is born, we feel the need to keep it going at all costs. We feel like to let something go is a sign of weakness or failure, or that it means that we've not fulfilled our responsibility to the idea. The need to squeeze every ounce of feasibility out of something can lead to stasis and eventually to block, frustration, and irrelevancy. Something that was once quite profound and resonant becomes a caricature of itself. Work that once popped is now blasé. By holding tightly to our assumptions about how things have to be, we often miss out on our potential. Just like we do unquestionably with nature, we need to learn to embrace this important idea. Sometimes something really good has to die so that something great can be born. It is the cycle of life and death and birth that fuels innovation, both in business and in our personal lives. So we're talking about business innovation, but also about personal innovation. It is also the central truth that drives the development of your authentic voice. You become stagnant when you hold on to good ideas long past their shelf life, or when you refuse to disentangle yourself from something that once gave you a sense of identity and purpose simply because you are afraid of what will come next. However, when you refuse to keep moving forward, you often begin to lose even the ground you've already taken. This is especially true in the process of developing your voice. It's easy to get stuck in a place of complacency once you've experienced a certain amount of success. You must remain humble enough to recognize when it's time to let go and to move on. There are strong urges and cultural forces that attempt to keep you in a place of perceived safety and to prevent you from taking the risks necessary to develop and use your voice. They want you to preserve and protect what you've already done, even if it's at the expense of your body of work. All right, so I want to talk about a couple of ways that this applies to us in our life as Create On Demand professionals. I'm going to pose a couple of questions or a couple of areas that you can look at to ask, are there places where I am growing stagnant, where I'm allowing comfort to cause me to sit by the campfire, as Tim said, or to simply hold on to something far past its prime? All right, so the first question I'm going to challenge you with is my motivational mix right? What is your motivational mix? What do I mean by that? Well, there are really three things I believe that motivate us, and they kind of form a portfolio of motivation. The first one is pay, just plain and simple, pay. We're motivated by the amount of money we get, and we should be, because frankly, pay is how we pay our mortgage. It's how we support families if we have families. It's how we, you know, basically expend resources to get the things that we want, the physical resources that we want or need in life. So to some extent, everybody is motivated by pay. And if you're not motivated by pay, it probably means that you have somebody taking care of those needs for you, right? Like you were born into a really wealthy family, or you have a patron who's taking, but even then you're motivated by pay, right? Because even your patron could stop giving you patronage and then you have trouble. So pay is the first part of our motivational mix. And frankly, again, we all are motivated to some degree by pay. It has to weigh into our decisions in some capacity. The second part of our motivational mix is prestige. This is about the reputation that we're trying to protect. It's about what our occupation or the work that we do or the things we say yes to say about who we are in the world. So to some degree, again, we're all motivated by prestige in some capacity. We want to position ourselves as the kind of person who is doing good in the world, somebody who's doing work that's meaningful, work that is having an impact on other people. So prestige is also, it sounds like a bad thing. Like I don't want to be the kind of person who's just out there for my name's sake. But to some extent, that's kind of a reality. I mean, we want to do work that stands the test of time and that creates a space in the world that perhaps we're even known for. And there's nothing wrong with that, with wanting to be known for the work that you do. So prestige is the second part of the mix. The third part of the mix is process. And this is about the work itself. It's about the work that you're doing. It's about enjoying what you get to do every day when you wake up and you go to work. To some extent, we are all motivated by a mix of those three things: pay, prestige, and process. Now, when you're primarily motivated by pay, you might say yes to work, not because you are going to enjoy it, not because it's something that you're really great at or something that you want to see yourself as, and not because you want to build a body of work that is reflective of who you are and what you value, which would be the prestige part of it, but simply because it's going to pay you. It's going to pay the bills. And frankly, sometimes we have to accept that work. That's okay. There certainly is work that I've taken in my lifetime that is purely about getting paid and paying the bills and saving for my kids' college and, you know, those kinds of things. Now, I still pour myself into it. I still do the best job I can do, but it's primarily work that I've accepted because I'm getting paid to do it. So we all have to do that to some extent. But my question for you is that your primary driver? does pay dominate your portfolio of motivation, or is it one element of how you make decisions in your work? So are you in a job purely because you're getting paid to do that job or because of what it does for your bank account? Even though you know that the work you're doing isn't really reflective of the kind of work that you want to be doing or the body of work that you want to be building. Now, again, there's always a short-term solution to a long-term problem, meaning I eventually want to navigate myself to work that I love, but right now I have to walk through this other job in order to get to the job I really want. That's fine. You have a goal, you have an objective. And so in the long term, your portfolio of motivation is very well balanced. But in the short term, maybe you need money in order to be able to accomplish a different objective. That's fine. I'm just asking in general, right now, would you say that you're holding on to your job not because your portfolio of motivation is well balanced, but because it's primarily the way that you're paying the bills and you don't see a path beyond that, or it's just grown too comfortable, quite frankly. So that would be a challenge for you. And then the second thing is, you know, are you holding on to a job purely because of what it says about you? I've known many people who have stayed in prestigious jobs far longer than they should have simply because they like being able to introduce themselves in a certain way at cocktail parties. Right? They like being able to say, I'm the vice president of blankety blank, whatever that is. But they grew stale in their job a long time ago. They're not growing. They're not really producing the kind of body of work that they're capable of producing. They're just staying in the job because prestige is what primarily motivates them. Or are you purely a process-driven person to the point that you will do work for free and everyone else in your life is suffering because you're so lost in the work and just doing the work that you're not even thinking about what kind of body of work am I building? And is it able to sustain me over the long term? Do I have a long arc strategy here with my finances that are enabling me to continue to do this work for a long time? Or am I just about throwing myself into the work and I'm not going to worry about all of those things? Because the reality is you need finances in order to sustain yourself. Of course, we all do, right? So that would be my first question to you is, what is your portfolio, your motivational mix, and how well is it balanced right now? And is there something that you're holding on to, refusing to let die, because that part of your portfolio of motivation is disproportionately driving your decisions right now? Okay. That's the first thing that I encourage you to think about. The second thing I encourage you to think about is, are you making any choices in your life right now because they are what someone else would do in your place? Not because it's what you should do, not because you've thought it through and you realize this is the right decision, but are you doing something? Are you holding on to something? Are you refusing to allow something to die simply because this is something someone else would do in my place, or it's something that somebody told me I should do based upon what they thought I should do, not based upon what I know I should do given my circumstances? We make all kinds of decisions in our life for the sake of other people. It's like we have an imaginary audience watching us and judging us. And I think that is a real shame because we're not accountable to anyone else in our life, any of these other people. So my question for you is, are you making any choices right now on a daily basis or about your career that are based on what someone else would do in your place, not based on what you know to be right for yourself? And then the third question, this is a little bit more simple to answer, I think. Are you saying yes to anything just because it's comfortable? And that could be a recurring meeting with someone. That could be the kind of work that you're taking on, a particular job, a particular client. Is there anything that you're saying yes to just because it's comfortable, even though you know that it's causing you to slowly wither and die creatively or professionally? Listen, these can be really difficult considerations, because I think that it's really easy for us to slip into a place of stasis and mediocrity without even knowing it. And I mean, I remember a handful of years ago, I had the best year personally, financially, that I'd ever had. And I remember a friend was asking how things were going. And I said, oh, if I could just replicate this year for the next 10 years, I'll be all set. And I'll just kind of coast it out. And I immediately caught myself and said, no, how dare you say that? Because even though that would be financially, you know, good, it would represent stasis in my career and in my writing and my impact on organizations. And that's absolutely not what I really want or need. It's just what that pay part of my portfolio was telling me would be best. And so I just ask you to consider, are there places where you're making decisions or you're saying yes just because it's comfortable, not because it represents the right next step in terms of your growth? Sometimes really good things have to die so something better can be born. Where are you holding on to things and trying to nurture them to life when they're at the end of their life cycle? Hey, would love to hear your thoughts, your feedback, your comments about this. Interact at accidentalcreative.com is my email address. You can reach me there or at accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. I'll see you.